Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка. Наш полет включает борщ. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль. And now, here's Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, coming up on the 18th of December, and that is a Saturday afternoon at 12 noon. We'll be signing our CDs, the best of the Phil Henry Show 99 CD, Communism is Neat. It may sound like a lame title, but we rethought the whole Phil-ennium thing and all reference to millennium and decided we'd like to move on now. We'd like to just move well past that now. So, with nothing better to think of, I thought, well, yeah, let's do some sort of a riff on communism, some socialist, I don't know, just something wintry. And I was thinking Russia, then I thought communism. So if you want one, come on out to our first CD signing on Saturday, December the 18th. It'll be at Rock Honda in Fontana, 9612 Sierra Avenue, north of the 10. I'll be there from noon on. For only $20, you get a CD signed by me. Now, don't hold me to any fast finish time. We'll probably be there from noon until 3. Probably shorter than noon till 3, maybe noon till 2. But the point is, we'll be there, and if you show up, you know, with 5 minutes to go, forget it. Now, we're going to have live entertainment. We're going to have some Arizona iced tea for you guys. All of the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Los Angeles. Only $20 gets you the CD. If you show up, we'll sign it. We'll autograph it. Take a picture, whatever you want. You can buy the CD and bug out without even saying hello to me. That's fine, too. And if you can't make it to that, we will have CDs available online. But this will be our first signing of the year and our first sale of the CD of the year on the 18th Saturday at Rock Honda in Fontana, 9612 Sierra Avenue, north of the 10. And we certainly hope, what is it that I'm trying to say? We hope to see you there. And now this Phil Henry Show announcement.
Hi, I'm Dan Deegan, General Sales Manager of the Phil Henry Nationally Syndicated Radio Show. During this time of year, we certainly wish each and every one of you a happy and healthy holiday season. For my family, though, it's always been a time of reflection and some ambivalence. You see, I've always enjoyed Christmas, enjoyed the lights, the presents, the getting together of family and friends. But somehow all of that was muted a bit when my son Tim, 2 years ago this very day, came out and told me he was a bone smoker. Well, as they say in sports, I walked it off. I'm okay, and I hope you are too. It's just that for a guy like me, some of this information comes a little fast and furious, and just allow me to back off and take this whole bone smoking thing in and in stride, I'm sure I'll get it. I love him, and I accept him, but just don't push this stuff on me too quick, all right? I'll handle it in time. Anyway, Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Forget it. Just forget it, okay?
Okay, thanks. That's Dan Deegan, General Sales Manager, with one of our many holiday, best wishes, which you'll be hearing ad nauseum as the season progresses. You'll be hearing from the people who work in traffic. You'll be hearing from the people who work in continuity. You'll be hearing from the 1,843,000 people who work in sales, sales assistant, all the sales secretaries. You'll be hearing from the receptionist. You'll be hearing from the engineers. You'll be hearing from the chief engineer, the assistant engineer. You'll be hearing from the people who work in production. You'll be hearing from the people who work at the front desk. You'll be even be hearing from the security guys. Throughout the holiday season, you'll be hearing something like, the holiday music. And by the way, that music is horrible. It's okay, Mike. It just goes along with what I've said. And anything around here works. Nothing around here works. Nothing around here works to my satisfaction. The music is wrong. The board is wrong. Anyway, that's why I'm missing David's party on Saturday night. I can't in good conscience go to his party. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Nice man, very talented programmer. I can't in good conscience go to his Christmas party. Not in good conscience. Because he and I, there is such a rift between us now for a variety of reasons. I have referenced them. I will not reference them again. But there is such a chasm that has opened up between the two of us. And I feel so personally betrayed that I'm not going to go to his Christmas party. I'll continue to work for the guy. I'll continue to do the best job I possibly can. I'll continue to come in here and work my ass off. And I will continue to, you know, accept the humiliation and the being ignored and the being stepped over. And that's fine. That's the business. I know that it'll end someday. But how can I, in good conscience, show up at a guy's Christmas party? I'm not going to go into it. Forget it. You know I love you, David. I think you're a talent. But obviously you don't think the same of me. I mean, that is so obvious. That is as plain as the nose on your face, my face, anybody who's got a nose of any prominence. It's really plain, right there in the middle of our kisser. It's obvious that you have little or no faith in me or my talent. That's fine. That's okay. You're entitled to your opinion, and in this particular case, it is your professional opinion, and it counts. It counts more than mine. But it's just that when I want to do a bit, and I want music, and this is what I get this, it just isn't right. It's just wrong. It sucks. This whole rack of crap that I got here, I'm not going to use this crap anymore. This is all wrong. I got all these drops that don't make any sense. It's nobody's fault. It's just the bad karma that is swirling around here that continues to infest and infect my very soul. Sorry, I got to get it off my chest, so I'm doing it, you know? The tune-out factor may be great, but you know what? It's feeling good to me. I really honestly believe, and I say this with as much respect as I can muster, I believe that I succeeded at this station despite the equipment that I have to work with, the production elements that I have to work with, despite all of it. For 3 years running, we'd go out to that Rose Parade, having had little or no sleep the night before, and I guess that's my fault because I should go to bed at 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve, so I'll be, you know, rip-roaring and ready to go for that big Rose Parade in the morning that we would go out, drag our rear ends out to, get there at 7 o'clock, 6:30, what have you, go out, do not only a credible job, but a hysterically funny broadcast for 2 hours by myself, with Mike there, Jonah Weiland was there, we'd go out there, no reliable transportation, nowhere decent to sleep the night before because we've got to be close to the parade, we got to be close to the broadcast site to get there in the morning. I mean, in other words, the radio station not giving us any support at all. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Do you honestly believe that if I were the general manager of this radio station and I wanted to stay the night on the Rose Parade route in Pasadena, you think they're going to put me in an Econolodge? Do you think that if I were a heavy hitter with a company and I said, you know what, I want to take my family to the Rose Parade and I want a place to stay the night before, do you think they'd stick me in an Econolodge down in East Pasadena? Or maybe they just might find a way to put me in something cushier, like maybe the Ritz over there in Pasadena, or maybe the Doubletree, or maybe rent a private home. I'm sure accommodations would be made. But when you have a guy that's broadcasting the Rose Parade, doing shtick for 2.5 hours, and turning it into a fairly significant New Year's tradition on KFI radio here in Los Angeles, forget it, man. We're sleeping in, well, I don't want to, I'm not even going to go into it, okay? But guess what? My wife couldn't stop showering after we got out of the place. And then last year, we get dropped off 2 miles from where we're supposed to be broadcasting the show, and I have to walk all the way to the broadcast position, and we're a half hour late going on the air. And the reason for that is very clear. This station has never, ever, ever had any confidence in my talent or ability as a broadcaster or an entertainer. Not really. They have humored me. But you see where we are. Nighttime radio. This is where you stick the freaks, the weirdos, and the filler programming against television, which is, of course, the main competition at night for our advertising dollar, TV. This is where you stick all your throwaway guys at night. And where the real money is made, morning and afternoon drive, middays on the radio dials of America. You ain't going to be hearing my rear end anytime soon. Not that I know of, anyway. Maybe some things have changed. If they have, you know, forgive me, but nobody's said boo to me lately. And yet, despite all of that, we come in, work our rear ends off, do a credible job. Despite all of that, we've gained a little bit of prominence on the radio dial. People know who we are. We syndicated our show nationally a couple of months ago. Despite all of that stuff, we continue to succeed. We continue to win. We continue to do the best we possibly can. It would be nice. It would be a nice thing if someone would reach out and lend us a hand every now and again. The chair that I'm sitting in, Premier Radio had to buy for me. Because the chairs they buy around here locally, the one busted out from underneath my rear end in the middle of a bit one night, so that my ass dropped about 6 feet, and I got steel right up my rear end. Until finally, the company I worked for in Sherman Oaks, they went out and bought me a chair. So these are the little things that one ponders in one's twilight years. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686, although I realize that we haven't taken a phone call, not one phone call tonight. I don't know when we'll get to any. I'd like to, but then they scare me. You scare me. Just the idea of talking to you people tonight scares me beyond all speech, scares me beyond all sensibility, all sentience. The very idea of going to the phones tonight and taking a phone call from you guys sends shockwaves, sends paroxysms of intestinal contraction, diuretic spasms. It's bad. But I'll try. That I can promise you, I'll try. Now, I want to thank the gentleman who just called from the Marriott Residence Inn in Arcadia. Sweet guy. He said, Phil, I don't know what I can do. You know, look at babe. If you want to do the Rose Parade this year, have at it, man. He's got rooms available, and he's a very nice man. It's in Arcadia, and that is a little bit far removed from the Rose Parade route, which is along Colorado Boulevard. But beyond that, as gracious as that gentleman's offer was, beyond that, we don't want to do the Rose Parade because, logistically, it's a very difficult thing to do, number one. Number two, and I say this with as much, again, as you see, it's tough to criticize because you don't want to come off sounding like you are a constant curmudgeon and crank. I really like watching the parade on TV, but working the event, and you come face to face with those who are charged with the security of the event and those white coat guys, and they just don't seem to get it year in and year out. I was on my way to that broadcast last year. I was running. We were running from the limousine. Were you with us, Mike, or you were with us? You were already with us. We were trying to get to this thing, and I did not have any time for conversation. I did not have the proper pass on me because the transportation couldn't drop us off at the proper checkpoint. But I needed to get up to the thing, and these guys are asking all kinds of questions. You'd think that it was an airdrop behind enemy lines after D-Day, like, who's Mickey Mouse's girlfriend? Minnie Mouse, whatever, you know? Are you an American? Are you a German? What ball club plays in Brooklyn? There ain't no ball club that plays in Brooklyn. Well, half those cats that are working security are about 158 years old. They still think the Dodgers are there. What ball club plays in Brooklyn? There ain't no ball club. That's the Dodgers, you schmuck. Get out of here. Turn around. Get out of here. I'm trying to get up there to the thing so I can do the thing, and I could care less. 7:30 in the morning, I'm supposed to bust out with Harvey and Margaret. And, you know, 2 years ago, I was wrestling with that throat infection, so I'm on steroids, and I'm taking antibiotics. My stomach is like a cauldron of gas, not wanting to bust wind in the confines of our broadcast position. I'm wandering down to one end of the booth there to try to gain some relief while Mike and Joan are looking at me kind of, you know, cockeyed. And little did they know I was doing them a favor. And at one point, 10 minutes into this thing, I didn't think I was going to make it. So it's not a very comfortable situation. It may be comfortable for Dan Dierdorf and Donna Dita, what's her name? The one who was in the outhouse that Harvey couldn't get out. Oh, Donna DiVerona, what? Yeah, her. It might be comfortable for all those cats. It might be comfortable for those cats doing a Channel 5 shtick. You know, all them people have been doing it for years, but you go to the radio side, and we might as well be a bunch of people sweeping up hot dogs under the stand. They could care for us. You can get your rear end up there, set it up, do whatever you need to do. And then, of course, technically, I guess it was okay. We have Bert working the thing. Technically, it was fine. But, you know, and I asked, could we get something to eat? Just a little something to eat. Oh, my God, the first year, what did we? We had nothing. Nothing. The second year, I think we had donuts and coffee that we had to go downstairs to get. Underneath the and then the third year, they were supposed to organize breakfast, and whoever this was that they contracted with to get us breakfast, well, this guy thought the Rose Parade was in Phoenix, Arizona or something. He didn't know what that was. He'd been driving to Fargo, North Carolina, or whatever the hell, Fargo, North Dakota. I thought, I was on my way to Rose. Is that the one in Portland? Or no, is that the one in Portland? No, it's the one in Pasadena. Well, hell, I knew there's a rose garden up there, too, ain't it? Yeah, there's a rose garden up there, but the one in Pasadena. Well, hell, I'm halfway up there. I might as well just drop it off the disc jockey up there. Yeah, go ahead. Find a disc jockey up there and give him all the coffee and the dough. They had, I understand it was very good. They had omelets. Oh, man. And we didn't get none of it. Some disc jockey in Portland, Oregon got it. So you see, you know, I get to a certain point in my life. Let me ask you guys a question. I'm being very honest with you, okay? Don't you get to a point after having worked very hard through a long career, don't you think you are entitled to certain tools to help you do your job better? Or are you constantly being treated as if it's your first year in the business? Because after a while, don't you say to yourself, well, you know what? I'm going to have to get some better treatment from somebody else. But around here, it's like you just busted in. It's like I just got off a weekend show. Excuse me, it's time for news and time to break a little wind. We'll be back. Goodbye.
Что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще водка. Наш полет включает борщ. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль.
Hi, this is Fenn Wilson in the continuity department. Wishing all of you a happy New Year and a hell of a Kwanzaa. I can't read that. Thanks a lot, Newt, or whatever the hell your name was. Hey, I know what we could do. Here's something we could do as long as we're just dragging our rear ends to the depths of depression this evening. I've written off the show tonight, by the way. I'm having too much fun sitting here feeling sorry for myself. And I thought what we could do is, you know those letters you get at Christmas time from your friends and relatives? They're not enough to send you a card. They have to send you the letter. Hi, everybody. Biff and I just got back from the archipelago, and those turtles are some... That's some kind of a thing. And I wanted to send one out this year. My wife said, of course, no, you may not, unless it's something that she approves. You know, hi, everybody. Bailed out Timmy, and, it was, you know, his bond came to $250,000 on that third-degree murder rap. And boy, I've never felt better after having my prostate removed. You know, just a little something different. So if you've got any of those, do you send those out? Do you send out the picture of you with the cat or something like that? You know how some people do that? Or they'll send out a picture of their cat. You got to give people points for trying to be different, although that's not quite different. I mean, that's like 30 years old, that's sending out the picture. It shows the couple with a cat.
or the couple with the dog, or they'll send out a picture with their dog with a snowman hat on, or they'll send out a picture of the tree with their mice or their kids. And then, of course, the letter. And I got one of those. We got one last year that was really, even though the person intended it to be cheery, it was really rather depressing. Hi, well, we just keep going on and on. In other words, it was like they were at Little House on the Prairie or something. It was almost as if they were getting through the depression or a Dust Bowl experience, you know. Hi, well, you know us. We just keep going. We just keeping out an existence here. Hi, everybody. Well, Dick and I are eking it out. And it's been a great year. Toby's swelling went down, and he's enrolled in swimming classes. And, of course, Dick's mother, Tina, she died in the spring. It was a lovely affair, though. Gotta go. Pa's expecting vittles on the table, and the North 40 needs plowing. Of course, gotta set the crapper up right in the road. Joni's finally off the crutch, and Biff has... I think he's found a rehab he likes. He's going to give it another go there on Fire Island, you know, he and his friend. Bill, of course, came out, told us that the whole bone-smoking reality of it, and we're behind him, if you'll pardon the expression, 100%. Uncle Joe's still on the hooch, and that yeah, at Christmas is fun. The rest of the year, it's a downer. The rest of the year, we got to have him strapped to a table, but at Christmas time, hell, this guy with a lampshade on his head is something else. Love the Johnsons. God, if only we'd see one like that. Oh. So that's how it's going around our house. Anyway, and also, I think Maria went out and got the tree. I don't give a crap. I'm going to set fire to the thing if she brings it into our house. The way I'm feeling, I'm torching that thing. I got a Bic, and I know just the time to set fire to that thing. A couple of weeks in, that'll go up like a matchstick. And we're moving, too. Oh, that's a hot one. I'm moving into a house I can't even afford. Who do I think I am? What? Yeah, I did the same thing a year and a half ago. I moved into a house I can't afford. Now I'm moving into another house that I can't afford. And I just keep right on keeping on. There ain't a nickel. I haven't got two to rub together. Look at the way I dress. If you think that I'm kidding, ask Crozier. He sees me every night. How do I dress? Like a slob. Yeah, I can't even keep my fly closed. I can't even buy pants strong enough to keep the fly closed. And believe you me, folks, that isn't because I'm packing anything special. It's because I'm a fat pig and and I haven't gone out to buy myself any new pants in such a long time. I guess I'm going to have to go get myself a rope to hold these things up. Right out of Little Abner. I mean, I mentioned at the beginning of the, or just as we were going to the news, I said, is it wrong for me to complain? I guess maybe it is, okay? You don't want to hear it? That's fine. Tune out. I don't care. Tonight's the night we're going to get it off our chest, and we have been in drips and drabs. I mean, I can really open it up here, but I won't. I want to be kind. I want to be fair. I want to understand what's going on. I know that some people get passed over. I know that it's just the facts of these. As I mentioned it to you earlier, I came to the realization about a month ago, that this radio station... And I'm talking specifically about Los Angeles here. KFI has absolutely they place no value in what I've been able to do here at night. None whatsoever. Now, let's recap, just as long as I'm talking about myself. We have consistently beat not only every talk station in town at night, we beat most of the music stations, too, in the target demo, 2554. You think anybody's going to print that? No. You think anybody wants to print that Phil Henry has consistently won this time slot? No, of course they don't. We lose one book, man, that's the banner headline. We lose one book, 12-plus, to KFI Jr. because they've got every 100-year-old person within shouting distance of this radio station listening to them, and they print that in banner headlines, man. That's like something out of the Fountainhead. Henry loses 12-plus because I just can't, for the life of me, as much as I try, I can't get anybody over the age of 108 to listen to me. So we've done that. Most of the music stations we beat. But it's a weird-ass show. If you haven't heard it, tune in tomorrow night. I guarantee it'll be good. It's too weird. You can't put this crap that we do on in the middle of the day. It's too, whatever you want to call it, but it sure is too daring for this radio station. The more stimulating one, And I also don't mind telling you that program director, specifically the program director at KFI Junior, called my agent about four times last summer, seeing what my availability was. Jesus, as bad as it is around here, man, there's no chance I'm going to go up the dial of that thing. I know what's wrong with my show. It's too freaking entertaining some nights. Maybe it's too funny. So that's why I was forced. I mean, I'm literally, my hand was forced. We had the opportunity next month to start doing the show directly out of Premier Radio in Sherman Oaks. I decided, well, I guess there ain't nobody around here cares whether I leave. I haven't heard anybody come to me and say, Phil, if we could upgrade the equipment, would you stay? Nobody has come to me and said, what could we do? I mean, do you really want to go over there? Is there something that perhaps you need? Is there what assistance can we render that might induce you to want to stay on the premises of KFI instead of going over to Sherman Oaks to Premier Radio? I haven't heard one word like that. We have a new general manager of this radio station, very nice man. I don't even think he's ever heard my show. I swear to God. Swear to God, I don't think the man has ever so much as listened to a minute of it. I don't know whether he's listened to the station. He's a pleasant guy. He pops in and out. He says all of those wonderful late 90s yuppie things like, go for it, baby, get this puppy off the mat, or whatever the hell those suits, you know, that lingo, those guys, I don't know what he's talking about. From when he's a nice guy, but he's like, yeah, shoot for you. He's doing the finger shooting thing, and great, and he's off in the whatever the hell car he's driving this week, the BMW. He's a nice guy. But you would not, at least I would not gather that he has ever heard my show, knows who I am, etc. And maybe he shouldn't have to. Maybe he's got bigger fish to fry. I'm sure that he does. So while that's going on, while I don't get so much as a chair out of this place, while I don't get so much as for 3 years, not even a CD player that I asked for, the very fine people at Premier Radio said, Phil, do you want to come over here and do your show from here? We'll build you a studio. Do you realize what that's, you know, you got to be in this business to know what it sounds like when somebody says to you, we'll build you a studio. You have to understand what that is. That's like gold. That's like, I don't know what business you're in, if you're a doctor. It's like getting a bonus check for like six figures. That's what it's like. It's like somebody laying a six-figure bonus check on you. We'll build you a studio. I never had anybody say that to me before in my life. And when they said that to me, I said, my God, thank you. I would love to go over there and have a studio that is constructed so that we can do our show the best way that we can. How could I say no? And even after that happened, I didn't hear anybody say, gee, Phil, do you really have to leave? Nothing. I mean, Michelle was very nice. She says, you know, we're going to miss you. David said to me, he's going to miss me. You think that that guy for 1 minute looked at me and said, what can we do to keep you here? You think he looked across his desk and said to me, I'm sorry you're going, Phil. Is there something that we can do to keep you here on the premises? Something that we can offer you? Would you like to, can we reconfigure this? Nothing. Nothing. And so, you know, he has every right in the world to do what he wants to do with his radio station. Every right in the world. And I'm the first guy, and believe you me when I say this, I've said this to people behind the scenes in this business for years, that he's one of the best, David Hall's one of the best program, if he's the best program director in talk radio in America, period. But when it comes to my weird-ass show, there's not enough guts there. And that's my fault, because I insist on doing a show that's so freaking out there that nobody in their right mind's going to put it on from 6A to 6P. One station, Miami, WIOD in Miami, did that. That's the only station that's put my show on in the daytime. Oh, excuse me, in KVEN in Ventura, they did it too. They did 1 to 4. When I was on in Miami, it was on 2 to 6, and right now they're running me from 9 to noon. Every other market I've ever been in, including L.A., too scared. And I don't know how to say this, but I have a wife four stepkids, a home, and dinners that I could share with them. Breakfasts that I could share with them. Movies that I could go to with my wife. I could have a life. I think I've earned it. But instead, I'm dragging my rear end out of here at 10 o'clock at night. Because that Henry, he's just too oddball. You know that on Wednesday, the Museum of Television and Radio, I don't know how this happened, but they're going to honor me. They're having a Phil Henry night at the Museum of Television and Radio, thanks to a wonderful woman by the name of Kelly Gates. She put this together. She seems to think that my show is one of the most revolutionary ever to come along in the history of radio. And there's a few other people that agree with her, to the point where they're actually having a night for me. And do you know that they not only sold out the main room, they had to put an auxiliary room with a closed-circuit TV set in it, and they sold that room out as well? I didn't think they'd sell three seats. They sold it out. Fastest-selling seminar that they've had at the Museum of Television and Radio in Los Angeles ever in the history of that museum. New York didn't want to do it. The people who run the museum here in L.A., they don't even know who the hell I am. They didn't want to do it. But this lady, Kelly, said, let's do it. This guy's different. And they sold it out. Because somebody out there says, hey, Phil Henry's doing a show that's influential, it's revolutionary, and it's changing the face of radio in very subtle and not so subtle ways. But with all of that going on, man, let's stick him on at 7 o'clock at night. I'm going to have to croak to finally get an afternoon drive show. Well, better late than never. 1-800-449. I bet you all these people calling in, by the way, Mike, let me just, yes, all the people calling in saying, why doesn't he quit bitching and start doing a show, right? No? Okay. Well, then we'll just keep right on bitching. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Okay, is the news department going to cut a bunch of those for us this year?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll have tons of those. Hi, Happy New Year, wishing all of you and yours. I always love that phrase, you and yours, the very best of the holiday season. In Mike's case, you and yours would be you and Gretchen, and that's it, man. You ain't got no fish, you ain't got no cat, you ain't got no dog. We just got a rat. What do you got, a dog? You got one cat? Fish? Rat? I got a rat. We just got a rat at our house. And I'll tell you something, if this guy doesn't clean his act up, man, and start taking care of the pool. No, this is a rat that, you have a cat. We got a rat and a cat. We got a rat. Catherine wanted a rat, so we got her a rat. Little tiny rat. Not a bad little tiny mousy-looking rat. Kind of a cool rat. It's a little fluffy rat. One of those rats that'll crawl up your arm, and it's real friendly. And, of course, I had to show him where the water was, because it's just say no to rats. just say no to anything. No, man, the kid wanted one. But now I'm beginning to see the cat creeping around. We got a cat that looks like Sylvester the cat. It's got the white bib with the black. And I said to Maria, you watch that mangy thing, because the minute you get a rat in here, you know what's going to happen. She's going to figure, yeah, like, duh, you know, knock the cage over. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? I said, it's a cat. It's a mouse. You're going to try. Sure enough, I come home the other day, and already now the cat's sleeping near the cage. She's sleeping near the cage. The mouse, I'm not sure, is cognizant of what's happening. The rat. But the cat the other day saw me open it. I opened the door because I wanted to take the mouse and put it up near the water because this mouse isn't too bright. It doesn't quite know where the water is yet. And as soon as I open the cage door, the cat's, oh, Jesus. Oh, you know, it's coming around. It's meow, getting up into the. I said, man, I beat the crap out of this thing. I had a fish that I got over the butcher shop that I was going to give him for his lunch. Instead, I just beat it over the head with this fish, this cod. I beat the cat to death with a cod, this big swinging halibut. I said, get away from the rat, okay? I ain't kidding you, man. She knows. She knows it's war. She knows there's trouble in River City because she knows when she comes snooping around that cage, I'm going to go, you know, I'm gonna get into battles mode. And you know, she starts skulking back underneath a chair or something. She sits there and bides her time till I split. Then she's back there sleeping under the cage, sticking her nose up to the cage. And, you know, all of a sudden you realize those Tweety Bird cartoons where you see that big cat kisser sticking up there in a cage. Imagine what that mouse feels like. The mouse is a little tiny mouse. And a big, fat, freaky-looking cat face just looming up there in the, you know, near the portal of the cage. Anyway, that's what we got. Catherine wanted it. We got it for her. Now, we'll see how long that thing stays alive. The way these kids take care of pets, I'm giving a mouse about 2 weeks. I never thought in my lifetime I would actually utter the words, "Hey, asshole, stay away from that rat," to a cat. But I did. And of course, Maria says, "Oh, let them make friends." Friends? Wait a minute, honey. Can I just, I mean, cat, mouse, enemies? Oh, she wants to be nice to it. And yeah, she wants to play with it, wants to bat it around and then break its neck. That's what cats do. This is the funniest thing you've ever seen. She's sleeping under the cage. You ever seen that Tom and Jerry cartoon? They were always trying to kick the crap out of each other. Which one was the cat and which was the rat? Tom was the cat and Jerry was the mouse. And Tom, if memory serves, was always trying to beat Jerry over the head with a frying pan. I think he was trying to eat that thing. We might as well get a dog and complete the cycle so that when the cat... You know, we have ourselves a living Warner Brothers cartoon. All I need is a bulldog. Get a bulldog with a frying pan. You know those bull legs that they've got? With a big doghouse out front. Have the cat tie its tail. Yeah, you see, and we'll put a big sign over it that says Spike. And we'll, the cat will tie the dog's tail to the doghouse, go chasing the mouse. When the dog tries to run out of there, he goes back like he's on an elastic cord, gets his ass flattened against some boards in his doghouse. Tom Cat and Jerry T. Mouse. Those were the guys. That's right. I know that one of my neighbors has got a bulldog. I've seen that damn thing out there just going bow, 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 with the big, flat, ugly face. Just bow, bow, bow. Every time I walk by, it's just bow, 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 bow. It's about 118 years old. It's got those bull legs. I'll go get that bulldog. Rename him Spike. I'll call the cat Sylvester. We ain't got no Tweety Bird, but we got the Jerry T. Mouse. Perfect. And then, of course, to really compliment it, I'll get into a dress with a broom. I'm giving the mouse a few weeks, not because the cat's going to do it. I think the kids are going to forget to feed it. I may forget to feed it. Actually, I helped it out a little bit. You know, I said, look, mouse, you don't realize what this is about. These kids love you. They think you're cute. They're going to forget about you in 2 weeks. It's you and me, baby. I'm going to be feeding you from here on out. The mouse is looking up and, you know, hey, you don't look too bad to me. You look a little stupid, but if you can remember to squeeze that water out every now and again, I'd appreciate it. I said, okay. And every now and again, I got to pick the cat up and just do like an overhand Sandy Koufax fastball with a cat against the wall to keep away from that mouse cage. And the mouse cage is out in the living room. I'm trying to sell a house with a rat cage in the living room. Anybody want to buy a house, by the way? It's Phil Hendry Show.